For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, the thought I'd like to bring up this morning, and it'll continue into next week, is just simply this. By God's grace, I will serve Christ in His church well this year. Could I go ahead and say right now, I am so thrilled that there are so many people in our church that last year you served God extremely well. And so I hope this message is an affirmation for you. I hope it's also an encouragement to you. And I want to say to all of us, the Bible cautions us not to be weary in well-doing. So as we look into this year, the question is, what will I do this year to make a difference for the cause of Christ? There are a couple of verses that years ago became life verses for me, and I'd like to share them with you in this context. One is actually out of Ecclesiastes. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's real easy for us to get tired. It's real easy for us to get frustrated. It's real easy for a lot of different factors to cause us to not do our best. And so from time to time, I can sense and feel that the Holy Spirit is reminding me of this verse, because God wants me to know, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So go back to the video, go back to the topic. We have gifts, spiritual gifts. We have talents and abilities. Are we using them well? And then there's this verse out of the book of Colossians. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That verse usually brings some conviction. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, hey, everything I say and everything I do, it's all for the glory of God. Not so. We make it about us. Other factors and feelings and thoughts enter in. And probably way too many times, if we were honest, we have to admit a lot of what we say and do, it isn't for the glory of God. And there's really no way that we can give thanks to God the Father through Him about what we said and did. And yet, if we would just take those two simple verses, put them together, let them steer and guide our lives, I can assure you there's enough wisdom and truth in those verses alone that it would dramatically make our lives more meaningful, more rewarding, more satisfying, if we could just better incorporate what God has said to us. So it takes the right attitude to serve well. I want to focus on this morning, and I want us to look again. This is the first verse in that chapter that verse that we read in this chapter a few moments ago. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do we understand how important the right attitude is about how we approach life? just in our daily living. But bring it into this Christian context. What about our Christian service? What about those things that we say and do, hopefully for the benefit of the cause of Christ? Is our attitude right? I've been doing ministry in one form or another since I was 16 years old. And I would go on record today as just simply saying, I am still learning how to do this better and to do this with the right attitude. I have had to admit over these years that my Christian service, at times, it's been impaired. It's literally been impeded. And listen to these things, because they're not very flattering. Sometimes selfishness has crept in. Sometimes indifference has crept in. Sometimes laziness rears its ugly head. Sometimes there's just been that negligence. And for me, that just speaks so personally, because I love to be organized and I am so analytical by nature. And structure and, you know, commitment, faithfulness, all of these things, just these great values. But I don't live up to that 100% of the time. What about you? Maybe we can sit down and think about last year. And maybe we can't speak about it in glowing words and with bright colors. Maybe we did serve, but we didn't serve well. We showed up. We did what we were expected to do, what we said we'd do, but our heart really wasn't in it. We weren't excited about it. It happens. So I'm not trying to get all of us to beat up on each other and ourselves today, but I am wanting to remind us what a great cause we're involved in. What a privilege it is, whatever it is that we do, to be able to do it as unto the Lord, to approach it with this attitude that's right and good and healthy. We do so many things, and I'll talk to you a little bit about this at the close of the message, but we do so many things around our church, like every other church, that is so dependent upon volunteers. And a number of years ago, we had had some cleaning companies that were coming in and cleaning our building. And I don't know if you've seen that in professional settings or maybe even in your homes. They always start out good. And the slide is awful. And money was tight. And we were trying to figure out how are we going to stay on top of just keeping our church facility clean. And so we came up with that. Let's do volunteers. I don't know off the top of my head how many times or how many years the volunteers have been covering these bases. But I can tell you as pastor, it is so much fun when the phone rings and it's somebody calling to solicitate business with cleaning. Thank you for your call. But we have this great group of volunteers that are doing this, and they do a wonderful job. And I could just call off all of these names. I'll call off the one that was most recent. A lot of times, the people who clean will come in either on a Friday afternoon or they'll come in on a Saturday. And usually I'm here in and around that time. And it's so neat when I hear the door open, and I'm always curious because my office is at the end of the hall, like who's coming in. And by late in the afternoon or sometimes early on Saturday morning, the doors may still be locked. And so obviously it's someone with a key. But I'll hear somebody say, housekeeping is here. The cleaning team has arrived. Do you know how well that sounds as opposed to, we're here. I was hoping you wouldn't be here so I could just get in and out. Could I say to you that this goes all across the board in our lives? If we have a bad attitude, it undermines the quality of everything we say and do. So I'll make it a little personal right now. How many of you have had moments in your life where your ego or your pride got in the way? Okay. Did it sound something like this? We try to make everything about us. We crave attention and affirmation. We talk too much and listen too little. We're not willing to share. We stop trying to play well with others. We get our feelings hurt easily and repeatedly. Happens in our homes, happens on sports teams, happens in churches, happens in businesses. You could just go on and on. When I think about this, folks, when our attitude goes south, it blurs and it distorts God's perspective that He wants us to have in life. And interestingly enough, when all of that is happening inside of us, a lot of times we're not even aware of it until somebody reacts to how we're saying or doing something. How would we illustrate or talk about God's perspective on life? One, and I saw this years ago, but it's just that word joy. But it's used as an acronym. If Brother James was here, I'd give him a shout out on this one because he loves them so much. So this one isn't mine. All of his seem to be original. I stole this from somebody or somewhere. Okay? Joy. Jesus, others, you. And I wonder how much joy we have left out of our lives because we just don't follow that simple rhythm of how we look at things and how we go about things. Matthew 27:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Jesus. Matthew 22:39, love your neighbor as yourself. Others. Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We finally fit in there. But if we want lasting joy in our life, Jesus, others, you. So it takes the right attitude to serve. I want to focus on this idea that we need humility to serve well. Does God like pride? No. We get caught up in it. And usually when we are caught up in it, we're not even halfway aware of the fact of how much God hates it. And you say, well, that's a pretty strong word. Well, in Proverbs 6:16-17, the Bible says, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to Him. And guess what number one is? Haughty eyes. Is anybody in our room this morning really good at haughty eyes? Could somebody stand and just sort of look at each section of the auditorium and say, this is what haughty eyes looks like? Nobody, oh, Shani's kind of faking it over there a little bit with a grin on her face. Maybe to help us out a little bit with pride and haughty eyes, look at these quotes. C.S. Lewis, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. That speaks to us, doesn't it? C.G. Jung, through pride, we are ever deceiving ourselves. But deep down below the surface of the average conscience, a still small voice says to us, something is out of tune. Many of us probably noticed this morning that Parvati is not in playing. Hung Tzu is here today and will also be here next week. Keep Parvati in your prayers. As you know, she's pregnant, and she's having some trouble in this pregnancy, and right now they're just trying to be cautious and figure out what's going on. But Hunsu graciously agreed to cover these Sundays for us before Bob comes back in a couple of weeks. But you don't even have to be a musician. If Hunsu was up here and all of a sudden crazy notes and sounds were just flying out of the piano, we'd stop singing. We'd start looking around at each other. We maybe even would throw a little stare Hunsu's way, like, what's wrong with you, man? That haughty eye thing would come out. Is he sick? If we had a little compassion. You know, so Hunsu, and I just happened this morning, I got to sit over on this side, and so you were kind of where I could see you when you're playing, you know, because usually where I sit, don't see that much when you're playing. He's just up there having fun. He's just playing, and he's just singing away. And it made me enjoy the music service even more, just seeing him in action. But I can assure you, had those awful notes been flying out of that piano, it would have stressed me out. And it wouldn't have been very praiseworthy or enjoyable. But isn't that what happens in our life when we get sideways? Pride creeps in. We may not be aware of it, but all the notes that we're sounding, anyone and everyone around us, they're not in tune. They're so off pitch. They're so annoying. God wants us to know that he hates pride, but he also wants us to know how much he values humility. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It's up on the screen. Would you read it with me? Let's read this together. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Man. I don't know, maybe most boys do this growing up. I know I did that. I loved playing Army. And when you're a kid growing up playing Army, you know, you have all of your fake guns that you play with. And you're shooting, you're making all the sound effects, and the battle's on, and you get friends together, and, you know, it's either the shootouts or your Army or whatever it is. I grew up doing that kind of stuff with all the fake guns. And I remember how proud I was when one Christmas I actually got a bazooka. And, you know, I thought I was bad to the bone. Arnold, watch out. You know, didn't know who he was at that time, but I would have tried to take him on with my fake bazooka. All right? So play that forward. We're a little bit older, and we're getting frustrated because I lived kind of out in the country, and a lot of us, we would get together on the weekends, and we'd strategize, and we'd play Army in the woods, and we'd, like, capture the flag, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So you're always in those debates about, you know, I got you, you didn't get me. So we all decided, this is probably bad, we all decided that instead of fake guns, we get our BB guns and pellet guns to play. And I don't know where all of our parents were. They would just cut us loose in the morning, and we'd all meet at our rendezvous places out in the woods. We had our pellet guns and our BB guns. We never had to have that argument about whether or not you got hit. It just ended all of that. So, you know, grew up with all of that stuff, played that stuff. Years ago, this one verse, the Greek word that is translated oppose there, is literally a military term which means to fight against. And when I understood that, it took me back to my childhood and all the playing Army that I'd done. And I thought, I don't want to position myself in life in such a way that the only option I'm leaving God is for him to fight against me. Why? Because I'm proud. I'm proud. And then I thought, but the other side of this verse, he shows favor to those who are humble. And this became a life verse a number of years ago, and it's been so motivational to me. Because like what I said, we're all easily capable of falling into pride and ego, a haughty spirit, you know, all of these negative things. But I thought, I have all these choices. I can make the wrong choices and find God fighting against me, or I can make the right choices and find God showing me favor. Take one other look at this. 1 Peter 5, 6. Would you read this one with me? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. We want God to have our back. We want God to be for us and not against us. We want God to open doors. We want God to make a way. We want to know that if we're faithful to God, if we love God, if we're treating others right, if we're trying to go through life to the best of our ability, less pride, more humility, that there will come a day, there will come a time when God Himself will lift us up. Things will happen that we could have never dreamed of making it happen on our own. God lifts us up. There will be times when it seems like everything on the outside, everyone that maybe we even know in that moment, it seems like everything is in collusion and it's against us. But here's God, and He's the only one that can do this. He strengthens us in our innermost being. And we find a strength, we find a stamina that helps us to stand strong, that helps us to not give up, that helps us to keep pressing on. Humility is what opens that door. How many of you know at least something about Mother Teresa? Yeah. I must admit, when I think about humility, a picture of her, and I almost asked, you know, for us to have one, but I just want to walk through this list. I came across a list this week when I was putting this message together that Mother Teresa had put together. And she said, ways we can practice humility. Ways we can practice humility. And I have spent some time on that list this week, and we're just going to walk them through real quick for you. Let's see what we can do to be more humble, to follow the lead of someone else who really modeled this, maybe as well as anybody that we've ever known anything about. The first one is to speak as little as possible of oneself. Not always easy, is it? In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Fair enough. Here was our second one. To mind one's own business. That's tough. Anybody ever hear of Gladys Kravitz? Some of you had no earthly idea. I'm not going to spend time on that one. Google it. Yes. But I will share a passage of Scripture with you out of 1 Thessalonians. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. To mind our own business. Here's the third one. Not to want to manage other people's affairs. Okay, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I'll just go there for a moment. I've run into a lot of people in life whose lives are a total train wreck. And yet I have just stood in amazement as those same people think that they have the best voice and the best advice for everybody else on how to live their lives. Where does that come from? It's got to be rooted in pride, with some blindness thrown in, some conceitedness here and there. Humility just pulls us back because we know, in most cases, we have enough on our hands just trying to take care of our stuff. We don't get overly excited about trying to tell everybody else how to take care of theirs. What about this one? I thought this was interesting. To accept correction cheerfully. Is anybody in our room really good at that? Raise your hand. I want to talk to you after service. You're good at that. Most of us, we may get around to a place where we're okay with it, and if it makes sense, we're trying to do something with it. But to accept correction cheerfully, let me give you some motivational verses with this. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. That is the NIV. You're wondering, you were curious, weren't you? That's the New International Version. We know how insulting it would be for somebody to walk up to us and say, "You're just so stupid." It wouldn't sit well. And it shouldn't, in one sense. But here's God. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. You're not stupid. But whoever hates correction is. Okay? One other verse out of Proverbs 15:32. Those who disregard discipline, that's correction, training, despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. It takes humility for these things to be true in our lives. I can't emphasize this too much. Let me give you another one from Mother Teresa. To pass over the mistakes of others. Anyone here this morning, have you found times where you were being petty, critical, judgmental? Let me give you the contrast to that. It really does take emotional maturity and spiritual competency for us to truly understand and consistently practice godly humility. And if we are practicing that, this is one of the ways that it reveals itself to us. To pass over the mistakes of others. Proverbs 19:11. Amy, this is going to be the New Living Translation. Okay? Proverbs 19:11. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. I don't know if you see scripture like this, but I look at the Bible and so many times I see it as God putting these guardrails out for us in life. I'll often tell people, and I guess this is a carryover from growing up in Louisiana, keep it between the ditches. What about keep it inside the guardrails? And I can just confess, when I'm outside God's guardrails, I am in the ditches. My life isn't anything like I really want it to be. But when you're driving inside God's guardrails, you smile more, you honk the horn less, the ride is so much easier and so much smoother. Here's another one, and I'm just going to keep pushing on us a little bit. To accept insults and injuries. You mean I got to go there? Well, according to Proverbs, it is helpful. Proverbs 12:16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. You're on high ground when you can just let it slide. Here's another one. It's a little deeper. To accept being slighted, forgotten, and disliked. Man. You're sitting there thinking, did I come to church to hear this? When I read verses like this or I share messages with you like this, a couple of things happen. One, I see how far I have come because a lot of these things are taking traction in my life. But then I also see, as we add scripture to it, how much farther there is for me to go. When you think about this, when I'm going to read a verse to you that comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 3. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised. And they held him in low esteem. None of us will ever be treated as badly or as poorly as Jesus was. None of us. And what an example. When we're being slighted, when we're being forgotten, overlooked, marginalized, when we're being disliked, and none of those things are things that we want, but the way through it is just to accept it and to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. I'm not doing very well with this. Help me. To be kind and gentle, even under provocation. I just look at this list and I find myself sometimes just feeling a little smaller and a little smaller. But then I hear Scripture calling out to me. And understand this, I think we do. Scripture is God's Word. It's His message for us. And reading out of Ephesians 4, in verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We never really know how spiritual we are until somebody ticks us off. Right? That's where the rubber meets the road. We can be singing, I love Jesus, yes I do. We can just be wailing away on our praise for God, but then someone cuts us off in traffic. Where did our walk of faith go? It flew out the window. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's been not too many, weeks or months ago, I had a person sit down with me and tell me things that were hurtful, to tell me things that, from my perspective, were totally wrong. And on one hand, there was some shock and just disbelief on what I was hearing. But then on the other hand, I'm sitting there, and this is the verse that came to mind. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I can tell you, I'm not always that spiritual. I'm not, and you're not either. Somebody says or does something that you don't like, and we're prone to just react, fly off the handle, say and do dumb stuff. And here was just simply a verse in the Bible that I've been familiar with for years that God just brought back to my remembrance. And it was so cool because I was able to just listen to the conversation, say, hate that you feel that way. From my perspective, there's a lot of things that you are so totally wrong about. But I love you. And can I pray for us? And I tell you that story to just simply say this. We know we've done it wrong when, after the fact, we are continually replaying an incident or a situation or a story or a circumstance in our mind because we are still trying to justify what we said or did or the stance we took. That's the dead dog giveaway is how I grew up hearing it. We're trying to prove something to ourselves. When you handle a situation right, you're at peace. And God's Spirit gives you that confirmation. And you say, why is this so important? Because in our interactions with others and in our service to God, we need major doses of humility or we mess it all up for ourselves and others. Here's the last one that made her list. Never to stand on one's dignity. I'm with you, Shani. When I saw that one, I went, well, I think I did a little better with the others than maybe I did on this one. So I started doing some research on this because I just wanted to find out, okay, what does this look like? What does this sound like? How does this become real in life? And I came across a guy by the name of Ryan Holiday, and he's written a book that's called Ego is the Enemy. And this is an excerpt. We don't like thinking that someone is better than us, or that we have a lot left to learn. We want to be done. We want to be ready. We're busy and overburdened. For this reason, updating your appraisal of your talents in a downward direction is one of the most difficult things to do in life. But it is almost always a component of mastery. The pretense of knowledge is our most dangerous vice because it prevents us from getting any better. Studious self-assessment is the antidote. So let me share this story with you. I mentioned in our class this morning, we were doing our Bible study, I said to somebody recently, I think in all my years of just pastoring this church, other churches, with people, I don't know that I've ever been with a congregation that maybe at this particular point in time seems less interested in sports. And I've thrown out these, you know, stories or examples or things like that that I was all fired up about. And I would look at you while I was telling the story and you're yawning and looking to see what time it is, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, after doing that a few times last year, I realized, you know, I need to go in a different direction on some of this because this is not working here. So I'm going to make the same fatal mistake again. I'm going to tell you another sports story. You know, I'm a slow learner, all right? Look over here. There's the designated section that might appreciate this story. Last Sunday after our church service, and we'd wrapped up our missions committee, I'm walking out the door to go home, and Tim stopped. He was, you know, driving, and he rolled down his window, and he said, "Hey, do you know that Kobe died?" And I grew up playing sports, and one of the first teams I got attached to were the Lakers. And it was back with Jerry West, who's the logo and all this kind of stuff. So it's been a while. So I haven't always liked Kobe, and I haven't always liked some of the Lakers teams. But I knew enough, I follow sports enough to know Kobe's bigger than life. And he's not just a sports sensation in our country. He's one all around the world. And it just kind of hit. And I'll tell you where it really did hit. On Monday, I was home and I was doing some stuff and had the TV on in the background. And I happened to walk by and it was on SportsCenter. And they showed a picture of him and they put in the dates. And it was 1978 through 2020. And I had heard them announce his age before on Sunday when I read some things and looked. And all of that kind of stuff. But when I saw that date in 1978, it hit me in a different way. Because that was the year my first son was born. And it made it even more personal. So over the course of this week, I've seen a few of the things, the specials that they've done with Kobe. And the reason I bring him up with this, most people put him at least in the top 10 of all NBA players of all times. That's what it seems like the consensus is. You may disagree, or you're probably looking at some of your faces, you don't care. So I'm trying to move on with this, okay? But this is a man that when he finished out of sports, he's moved in so many other directions. What, he has an Oscar and a Grammy. And he's doing so many different things. And the thing that blew me away, because I didn't really know this much about his post-basketball career until I saw some of these specials, he had an insatiable desire to learn, to grow, to change, to excel, to achieve. It didn't matter where or what. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I marveled at that. Because sometimes we fall far short. So this was a long-winded introduction to this whole passage of Scripture that literally tells us we need to be humble with ourselves. Because folks, if we don't learn how to do this right, our lives fall apart and our Christian service, or our Christian service, is subpar. So I hope as we live another year of our lives, I hope that whatever we did, whatever we achieved, ever how well we did it last year, we're going to look at this year and we're going to say, by God's grace and with His help, I'm going to do it even better. And if we don't do that, folks, we will do a great disservice to ourselves. So next week, as I talk a little bit more specifically about these spiritual gifts and our areas of Christian service and all of that, I just want you to open up your heart to God and say, help me to do something extremely well for your glory and for the benefit of your kingdom. Amen.